Please turn again to that portion of scripture that we read earlier in Acts chapter 17. And with God's word open before us at this portion of scripture, let us again bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help. We need the Lord's help as we come to preach God's word this evening. So let us all pray. Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for another opportunity that you've given to us to preach thy word. And we believe it is thy word. We believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We thank thee and we praise thee for the Bible. And Lord, it's our only rule of faith and practice. And we're not ashamed to say that. Oh God, we don't need anything outside the Bible. We thank thee, Lord, that we have the word of God and the scriptures of truth. And we pray, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page tonight, that you would come and fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless your people. And we pray for those that are not saved in the meeting, that you would save them. Those that are backslidden, that you would restore them. Oh God, we thank thee and we praise thee for the working of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives through the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would take thy word and apply it to all of our hearts this evening. God, hide man far behind the cross. Our prayer is that none would be seen save Jesus only, nor that we might know the infilling of the Spirit of God. Even tonight, Lord, at the close of this meeting, close us in with yourself. Defeat the devil. Oh God, we pray that you'll bind Satan. We know, Lord, that he will be here seeking to snatch away the good seed that will be sown in the heart. Oh, we pray, Lord, that the seed of the gospel might fall upon the good ground tonight, and that it might bring forth a bountiful harvest. Bless us now, we pray thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This morning we considered Paul preaching on Mars Hill to the people of Athens. Tonight I want to look again at this message that Paul preached on Mars Hill, and I want to consider just one aspect of it. I want us this evening to look at what Paul said about God's judgment day. Look what we read in verse 31 of Acts chapter 17. Because he hath appointed a day, that is, God hath appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Men and women, down throughout the history of this world, there have been many great and notable days. Days that define the great events of this world. But one of the greatest days that this world will ever witness has still to come to pass. It is, of course, a day that the atheist rejects. It is a day that the agnostic laughs at. It is a day that the majority of people down through the ages have refused to accept. What is that day? Well, it's God's judgment day. And as Paul stood in Mars Hill and preached to the so-called wise men of Athens, he declared unto them that the day was coming when God would judge the world in righteousness. Sinner, I wonder this evening, as you're gathered in God's house, do you believe that there's going to be a judgment day? Well, tonight I want you to listen very carefully to this message. In Acts 17, verse 31, Paul here draws our attention to this day that's going to take place. And as he draws our attention to this day that's going to take place in the future, he reveals unto us three very simple but important truths about that day. And I pray that the Lord will take the word of God tonight and apply it to your heart and to your soul, especially if you're in the meeting and you're found here and you're not saved, you're not a Christian. First of all, I want you to notice the certainty of that day. Look what it says in verse 31, and I hope that you have a Bible in front of you. And if you haven't brought a Bible with you tonight, there are Bibles in the pew in front of you. Please take one and open your Bible Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. And look what it says at the beginning of the text. And remember, Paul here is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He is speaking and preaching the word of God. And this is what he says. He says, because he, that is God, God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. I don't think anything could be stated any clearer than what is stated here about God's judgment day. Twice over in our text, it is dogmatically declared that God will judge the world. Look at it again. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. There are no maybes here. There are no buts here. There are no ifs here. Only certainty. The certainty of God's judgment day is set forth here very clearly for us all to see. And not only is it set forth here in this text of Scripture, but throughout the Bible, time and time again, God declares that the day is coming when he is going to judge this world. Therefore, as far as God is concerned, the day of judgment is a fact that cannot be denied. The judgment day, you see, is ordained and is set in the eternal calendar of God Almighty. And because of this, it cannot be changed or altered. My friend, it doesn't matter what you believe tonight. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the philosophers of this world say, or the wise men of this world say, or the educated men of this world say. Here is the truth. And the truth is this. That someday, when this world as we know it is no more, God is going to judge the nations of this world for their sin and for their ungodliness. Because God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. There's some verses I want to read. I don't want you to turn to them, but if you've got a pen and you want to write them down, you can read them again later. But all these verses, and I'm going to read them very quickly, all these verses draw our attention to the day of judgment. My friend, if you're not saved in this meeting, I want you to listen very carefully, because time and time again throughout the Word of God, our attention is drawn to this fact of God's judgment day. Matthew 11, verse 22 and 23, or 24 says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment." And then verse 24 says, "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment." There the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And the Lord Jesus speaks about this day of judgment. And he speaks about this day of judgment as a fact. Mark 6 verse 11, we read these words. "And whosoever shall not receive you," that's the Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples when they would go forth to preach, "nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment." Again, the Lord is emphasizing this day of judgment. Matthew 12 verse 36 says, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." 2 Peter 2 verse 9. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished." 2 Peter 3 verse 7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." 1 John 4 verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Jude verse 6. "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day." Here we have the word of God before us. And these are just some of the scriptures that draw our attention to this day of judgment. But my friend, you can see here very simply and very clearly that there is going to be a judgment. That this day of judgment has been set in God's eternal calendar. And that on that day, this world will stand before God, the nations of this world, everyone that has lived and has rejected Christ from the beginning of time to the end of time will stand before God and be judged for their sins. Don't believe anyone who tries to tell you that there is no judgment day. Don't believe anyone who tells you that when this world ends, that will be the end of mankind. There'll be no existence after this world is over. Because the Bible clearly teaches us that there's a world to come, that there is an eternity. And when that eternity dawns for this world, God's judgment day will be set up. And God will judge the nations of this world. And here we have the Apostle Paul, and he stands on Mars Hill, and as he talks to these so-called wise men of Athens who refused to believe on the resurrection, who refused to believe on a judgment day, because as we found out this morning, the majority of them mocked and laughed Paul because he preached such a message. And yet here we have the preacher boldly declaring, God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. And my friend, that judgment day has still to come. I wonder tonight as we're gathered in God's house, are you prepared for this judgment day? You know, the Bible says, indeed it was the Lord Jesus who said, be ye therefore ready. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And that's why we preach the gospel, and that's why we endeavor to present men and women with the whole counsel of God. Because if men refuse and reject the message of the gospel, then they must stand before God someday in judgment. And you will stand before God someday in judgment if you reject Christ and reject the gospel and say no to his free offer of salvation. Oh, notice the certainty of this day. But I want you to notice something else. Turn back again to Acts 17. Look at verse 31 again, and you'll see the judgment on that day. Look what it says. Because he hath appointed a day, God hath appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. I want you to underline the phrase, judge the world in righteousness. The word righteousness here means justice. In other words, God's judgment on the day of judgment will be according to God's justice. And on this day of judgment, God's judgments will be righteous and just. Now that's something that you must clearly understand. There will be no lies told on that day. There will be no deceit. There will be no bluff. There will be no lack of evidence. God will have all the evidence set before him, and from that evidence, he will make righteous and just judgments. That's what the text is clearly teaching. His judgment will be according to truth. In Romans chapter 2, verse 2, it says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And in verse 5 of Romans 2, it says this, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In the courts of our land today, many people, because of lack of evidence or because of false witnesses, get off with their crimes. Others, because of corrupt evidence, find themselves in prison when they have done nothing wrong. But men and women, on God's judgment day, there will be no lack of evidence. There will be no false or corrupt evidence. There will be no false evidence set before you. But there will be truth and there will be righteousness set before you. Because God will judge the world in righteousness. Righteousness. Keep your hand there in Acts chapter 17 and turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Now, we read this portion of Scripture last Sunday evening as well, but let us read it again because we're dealing with God's judgment day specifically tonight. And here in Revelation chapter 20, we can see the day of judgment referred to. Here is what's going to happen on this day of judgment. And I want you to consider how God is going to judge the world for its sin, the righteous judgment. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books were opened. I believe that's the book of the Scriptures. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. The evidence will be set before you, my friend. The word of God will be opened. And you will be judged according to the Scriptures of truth. And more particularly, you will be judged, I believe, what you did with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible declares that the Lord Jesus is the Savior, the only Savior. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the Bible declares that we must come and accept Christ as our Savior. But if we reject Him, if you reject Him, and you have been rejecting Him up until this very night in your life, you have refused to come to Him. Therefore, if you die in that state on the day of judgment, God will open up the Scriptures. And God will ask you the question, why did you not accept my Son when in the Scriptures He was declared to be the only Savior of men? My friend, the evidence of the Scriptures will condemn you. It will. On the day of judgment, no one will get away with their sin of rejecting Christ. Apart from those who are saved and have their sins forgiven through the blood of the Lamb, all who die without Christ as Savior will be judged by the righteous judgment of God and condemned forever. And that's what Paul was saying on Mars Hill as he drew his hearers' attention to this day of judgment. No one will escape the judgment of God. Even those who trusted in their good works and self-righteousness will not escape the righteous judgment of God. In Romans 10, verse 1, down to verse 4, we read these words. You should underline them in your Bible. Here again, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is what he says. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Maybe you think that your good works and your self-righteousness is good enough to get you into heaven, make you acceptable with God. Well, this portion of Scripture reveals to us tonight that it's not good enough. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And no one is going to plead on the day of judgment good works. No one on the day of judgment is going to plead that simply because they lived a good upright life, that's going to be enough to get them into heaven. Well, I went to church and I said prayers and I did my best and I didn't do anyone any harm. My friend, listen, on the day of judgment, you'll be judged according to God's righteousness, according to God's holiness, according to God's truth. The truth is this, that unless you have your sins forgiven, unless you're saved by the grace of God, unless you have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you, then you'll be lost forever and forever and forever. Oh, here we can see the judgment that's going to take place on the day of judgment. But look at the text again, because there's something else here in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Not only the certainty of this day, not only the judgment on that day, according to righteousness and God's righteousness, but look at the judge on that day. Who will be your judge? Well, look what it says. It says, God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world, listen to it, by that man whom he hath ordained. Now, who is this man that God hath ordained and will sit in judgment over this world? Who will be the judge on that day? Well, read verse 31 very carefully. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Now read on. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. The man that God has ordained to be the judge on the day of judgment is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, that man whom he has raised from the dead. Who was raised from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Oh man, today refuse. They refuse to believe that Christ has risen again. But on the day of judgment they will believe. Because on that day, Christ will be their judge. After Paul had preached in Mars Hill and emphasized to them not only that Christ had died, but that he had risen again, there were those that mocked. Look what it says in verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. They wouldn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen again. They didn't believe that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God and that he was alive. They wouldn't believe on a judgment day. But nevertheless, Paul set forth clearly to them, not only that this judgment day was going to take place, not only that it would take place and they would be judged according to God's righteousness and God's holiness, but that Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, would be their judge on that day. The one who died upon a cross, the one who was buried in a tomb, the one who rose again, the one that ascended back up into heaven, the one that is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven this very moment, the one who is coming again, he will someday be the judge of all the earth. And he will be your judge. He will be. In Romans 2 verse 16 it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. My friend, how do you stand before God tonight as you're gathered in God's house under the sound of his precious word? Are you right with God? Have you made your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the truth is this. Tonight, as you sit in God's house, the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Christ, wants to be your Savior. He died upon the cross, and upon that middle tree on Golgotha's brow, he shed his precious blood in order to save you, in order to redeem you. And if you were but to come to him now and trust him as your own and personal redeemer, then he would forgive you for your sins. He would prepare you for heaven, and he would deliver you from the judgment to come. That's why Jesus died. That's why he came. He came to die upon the cross in order to deliver men from the judgment to come. But if you reject him and you refuse him, and if you say no to him, then on the day of judgment, when all the nations will be gathered to stand before God, Jesus Christ, who wants to be your Savior today, on that day he will be your judge. And you will hear those words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We're dealing here with solemn truths, but we're dealing here with facts. We're dealing here with what the Word of God says and what the Word of God declares. My friend, that's why it is so important for you to get right with God and to make your peace with God. As Paul stood in Mars Hill, and as he looked out over the city, and as we found out this morning, it was a city wholly given to idolatry, full of idols. That's what it literally means, that phrase, wholly given to idolatry. It means that Athens was a city full of idols. And here's a preacher, a missionary, an evangelist, a man of God, standing in the midst of Mars Hill, standing in the midst of all these so-called philosophers and wise men of Athens. And he preaches about God's judgment day. And the majority don't believe him. The majority mock when they hear about the judgment day. They mock when they hear about this day when God will judge the world. And they mock when they hear about who's going to be the judge on that day. How could Jesus Christ be the judge? For he's dead. He was crucified on a cross. But Paul reminded them that he rose again. And someday this resurrected Christ is going to be their very judge. And my friend, he'll be your judge. He will. He wants to save you now. And he will save you now if you come to him. But reject him and he'll be your judge. He wants to be your redeemer. And he will redeem you now. But if you reject him, he will be your judge. He wants to forgive you for your sins. He wants to bring you to heaven. He wants to give you everlasting life. He came to give life and to give life more abundantly. But if you reject him, then on that day, he will be your judge. Because God has ordained that the one who died and rose again will be the judge of all the earth. It's hard for us to fully understand and imagine what that day is going to be like. We can't fully comprehend it. But my friend, it will take place. And that's why we urge you to repent. You see, that's what the Apostle Paul did on Mars Hill. As he set before the people the certainty of this day of judgment, he exhorted them to repent. He says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the reason why God commands all men everywhere to repent is because of this judgment day. My friend, do you not see your need of repentance tonight? Repentance simply means, as we said this morning, turning away from sin, turning away from your idols and seeking the Lord, turning away from the things that you hold on to and love most in this world, and seeking the Lord, loving the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, trusting Christ as your Savior. What Paul was saying was simply this: men of Athens, if you don't repent, if you don't turn away from your idols, if you don't turn away from your false gods, if you don't turn away from your sin, then on the day of judgment, you will stand before the God of heaven and you'll be judged for those sins that you refuse to repent of. Oh, there's a day of judgment coming. This is an old message, but it's a sure message. It's a sure message because it's a message from God's truth. That's why tonight you need to seek the Lord and turn from your sin and be saved. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. I wonder this evening, at the close of the meeting, and the meeting is over, Is there someone here? And the Lord has been speaking to you. And the Lord has spoken to you again tonight. And you realize you're not ready. You're not prepared for this judgment day. But you want to prepare tonight. My friend, you can prepare tonight. You can get saved tonight. You can get saved in the seat you're sitting in. Just bow your head now and ask the Lord to save you, to forgive you for your sins, and prepare you for heaven, to cleanse you in His precious blood. And He will do it. He will do it right now. But you've got to come to Him. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Will you come tonight? Will you be saved? Will you trust Him? God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, wherefore He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He has raised him from the dead. Let us all pray.